Check engine, ABS, or maintenance light on? Take the guesswork out of your warning lights with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we could recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Break. Happy Rosh Hashanah, Happy New Year to those who celebrate. This is Fantasy Sports Today right here on a Sports Grid. Craig Mish in the house with you. We've got George Kurtz as my partner here for the next couple hours as Davis has the day off. Of course, we're covering fantasy football today. We're covering the NFL. We'll take an early look at some of the games this weekend. We'll do a deep dive into the Thursday night game, of course. And George, it's great to see you again. Thanks for filling in for me yesterday. I know you'll be doing some filling in for me during the week throughout the whole football season. Thanks for doing that. Thanks for being with me here today. What's going on? Good to see you.
Oh, it's always my pleasure, Craig. What's going on? Well, I'm a Yankee fan. They've scored one run in the last 22 innings. I'm a Cowboy fan, and that's just not going to go well tomorrow night at all. So it's been better, but hey, fantasy football's here.
Yeah, I should have known that's the way that you were going to start off this show. Can't find the silver linings in that George Kurtz today. How about Derek Jeter going in the Hall of Fame today with his speech today, George? I mean, that's a nice thing. Larry Walker, Marvin Miller, Ted Simmons. I think we'll be on the air.
Yeah, I think as far as Jeter, you're right, we're on the air. I am recording it. I'll breeze through it. I want to see if he opens up a little bit. You know, here he was always very – it's what kept him out of trouble, right? He gave away very few things about his inner self, what he really felt. So I wonder if he'll open up a little bit or if he'll be the same old Derek Jeter. So it should be interesting to see. But he got in – one person didn't vote for Jeter. Love to know who that person is, by the way.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I've gotten to know Derek pretty well here since he's been the CEO of the Marlins. So I will be checking that out today. I'm very excited to see him go in, certainly – as a player, one of the best that in our generation of watching, George, both you and I, no question, one of the best that's ever done it. Okay, let's get to our headlines here, and let's start off with Le'Veon Bell. He's now a member of the Baltimore Ravens on their practice squad. Of course, they still have Gus Edwards. They still have Tyson Williams. Maybe they'll end up having Latavius Murray, too, because he's been cut by the New Orleans Saints. He'll probably get picked up pretty quick, I would think, but questionable for sure to play this week. But don't cut him yet from your fantasy roster, no doubt. Albert Pujols' return to St. Louis goes very well. He hits a home run. Dodgers beat the Cardinals as they continue this unbelievable run that they've had over the last month, trying to take down the Giants for the National League West. The Jays beat the Yankees. Gerrit Cole leaves with a hamstring issue. Who knows if that leads to the IL? Who knows what that means for the postseason? But, George, I think for Gerrit Cole and the Yankees, really, at this point, if they can just somehow weather this Jays storm and weather the A's storm, then, you know, I think they should be okay. But they're going to need Cole for that first game, I would guess, in a wild card situation.
Absolutely. They'll need Cole back here. I guess you could say this is a sort of a best case scenario. It's a mild hamstring tightness. The Yankees did not feel the need to send him to an MRI. It's questionable if he'll make his start Sunday night against the Mets. My guess would be no. I think they'll play it somewhat safe there to make sure he can pitch, as you said, last couple of starts down the stretch and in that wild card, assuming they qualify for it. We thought it might be a blister at first. That was a guest there, David Cohen on the Yes Network, thought that last night. So did I, actually. But like I said, hamstring, I guess that's good news. It's not the elbow. It's not the shoulder. So we're good there. But is that the biggest problem with the Yankees right now, Craig? One run, no, 22. They could hit Baltimore.
This is one of the weirdest Yankee seasons I've seen in a long time. They just start off looking like they're going to fire the manager. They go on an unbelievable run. It looks like he's going to win manager of the year. It's like right back there now where they were in May again. It's a strange team. It's a flawed team. It's not a team I don't think that's going to win the World Series, but I still think they'll find a way in. George, all your fantasy drafts completed. I wrapped two of mine up on Labor Day, and so I'm ready to go here on Thursday. Any future drafts for you in fantasy, or you're completed at this point?
I have one left, my home league, the one I'm the commissioner in. This is year 35. I think this is year 34. I'm sorry, year 34 of that league, and it takes place in about 7.5 hours. So looking forward to that draft. Super flex league. All leagues should be super flex. All right. Quarterbacks are so abundant now. Have a second quarterback. Super flex leagues. It's more strategy. It also stops guys like from Craig and I going, I'll just wait forever to take a quarterback. You know, so do a super flex. It's more fun. You should also be playing in IDP leagues, but I know that's, God forbid, anybody should do that. So yes, Craig, one more draft. IDP, Do you ignore pitching in baseball? Do you ignore steals and blocks in basketball, goalies in hockey?
I understand, but it's not about ignoring. Look, fantasy football in general, while we provide a lot of insight and we take a lot of good guesses, the game of fantasy football essentially comes down to how lucky you are at the end of the week, because you can have, as most people know, the best week of your life in fantasy and still lose if somebody had a better week than you. So I understand your point. Do you play with this? Do you play with that? But in the end, nobody really wants to go deep diving in fantasy football. Davis Maddock and, you know, 10% of the fantasy community, the rest of us just want to set our lineup every week, George. We don't want to have to get too far into it. And that's why we have other people that come on this show, like yourself, like Davis, who hosts, to kind of do those deeper dives. So you can sell it. You just can't sell me, George. I mean, you could sell it all you want. I'm not going to do it, but it's fine. Go right ahead.
Where's Gary Davenport when I need him? I like the IDP leagues. I do. Now, one thing you said, by the way, and one way to alleviate that one problem, you said, you know, I have a 200-point weekend. Craig had a 201, and I lost. Play doubleheaders. And by that, I mean, each week you play in two games. Sure, I might have lost to Craig. I get a loss. But the top six, I'm assuming you have a 12-team league, the top six point scorers that week also get a win. So therefore, it takes away some of that bad luck I had there. And if I go 1-1, I still should have gone 2-0, but at least I didn't go a 0 there. At least I didn't take a donut. So that's one way to alleviate the problem you just mentioned.
Yeah, you also could play those doubleheaders 7 innings apiece, Jordan. And this way you could cut it down.
Don't start with me.
All right, coming up next, it is the first game of the NFL season. It is tomorrow. FanDuel has so many options to wager on this. We'll get into it next. Don't go away. Break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
tips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Well, NFL season is finally here, and I can tell you that I'm excited for it. I'm also a little relieved. We are pretty much over our previews for the upcoming fantasy football season, but that doesn't mean every single week here on Fantasy Sports Today and every single day we'll take a look at the DFS options, of course, over on FanDuel, give you some betting options as well, talk about our teams throughout the season. And I believe for the most part, George, you and I will be doing this show every Wednesday, I believe it is, or Tuesday, one of those two. Which day did we?
Tuesday. You and I are Tuesday.
I can't even figure. There's a couple of weeks from now. I have to end up taking off a Tuesday. But regardless of that, that's what you can expect here on Sports Grid. 2 days of George Kurtz, the rest of the week of me and Davis. Now, tomorrow night, you can already tell that George is just ready to take an L here as the Cowboys and Tampa Bay Buccaneers face off. I think it's too premature here, George. You know how the first game of the season goes. It doesn't necessarily go the way you think it is on Thursday night. Go back and look at history. Weird things happen. Let's take a quick look at the line here as it stands right now on FanDuel. If you're logged in, you're getting right now +8 on Dallas, if you're George, and the money line is +310. The total is 52 in this game. And so this is the first look, George, for a lot of people at the lines. Most people that watch the show, they love to wager, but they're also probably a little novice with doing this too. They're seeing the line tomorrow night. Are you willing to stick your neck out in game one and take Dallas? Or maybe do you think that the line will go up before tomorrow night? You think it'll be 8.5 or 9? Is this a stay away game? Can you enjoy this game tomorrow night, George, if you're betting on the Cowboys?
Well, all jokes aside, Cowboys have some issues here, right? Dak hasn't played now since week 5 of last season. Didn't play in preseason at all. And I could go through the snaps of all the Cowboy top-notch starters. Most of them did not play in preseason or played very sparingly. To think you're going to show up Thursday night, week 1, and all of a sudden everything's going to be on track here against what might be the best defense in the NFL, certainly one of the better defenses in the NFL. And now you're probably, they're hedging on this a little bit, but you're probably without Zach Martin, who, as Ezekiel Elliott called, their most important offensive player. He's not. That's still Dak Prescott. But he's, you get my point. He's one of their better offensive players. They've got some problems. You're running into a buzzsaw in Tampa Bay, right? Super Bowl champions, all this that's going to come along with it. Plus, the Cowboys have never beaten Tom Brady. Never. I understand they only played him once every 4 years, but they never beat the guy. You know, so everything's pointing the wrong way here for Dallas. So I don't expect them to win. I actually bet on Tampa, but I bet earlier, probably 6 weeks ago, when it was -6.5. The spread's gone up to 8 now because of Zach Martin, because of everything else that's happened here. So I'm on Tampa Bay to win this game. I do like the over, however. You know, but I'm also scared of this, Craig. It's a stat we all know. Dak Prescott against good teams, and Tampa's a good team, doesn't play well. All his numbers are horrifically bad. That being said, I expect some garbage time points here.
Yeah, I think that it's compelling because, again, as you mentioned, we haven't seen Dak in about a year, and everyone's kind of waiting to see what happens with Dallas. Also, we know that the team that wins the Super Bowl the previous year usually does not the following. So we'll see what happens with the Bucs as they debut tomorrow night. Of course, we'll cover it for you here on Sports Grid, no doubt. Let's take a look at some other prop possibilities here, George, and this is for any player to score a touchdown in the game. And here are some options. You have Mike Evans at -110. So this is -110 to win 100. You have Ezekiel Elliott, -105 to win 100. And then here's some plus money. Chris Godwin, +110. Ronald Jones, who I ended up with in both my fantasy drafts this season, at +125. Leonard Fournette is +150. And I also ended up with CeeDee Lamb. I mean, I'm going to be watching for CeeDee Lamb tomorrow. I have him in both the leagues I play in, too. So he is +170 tomorrow. So with an over, George, if that's the script you are writing, my guess is you have to like multiple players here, because that would mean there'd be more than 52 points. That would mean there'd be about 7 touchdowns in this game. So who do you like here?
Yeah, you're right. And I love, like most of us, I love my props. And I seem to do much better on props than I do as game picks, by the way. So maybe it's good for the Cowboys. At least that's what happened last year. Out of the guys that you listed there, you're not. I can't see you taking Godwin right now. As I told with Brett before the show, he hurt his quad yesterday in practice. Now he's not out. He's questionable. But I'm not going to put any money on him right now. I want to see him make sure the man's going to play. And that's always the problem with Tampa Bay, right? Evans, Godwin, Brown. Brown's missing practice time too, although I think he almost certainly plays. Which one? Which one are we going for here? All right. I can always guarantee you one of the tight ends is scoring a touchdown. I think Gronk's getting it. I'm going to have money on Gronk. Game one, Super Bowl, they want to get that crowd going to get the Gronk spike. Gronk spike bowl. I think Gronk scores tomorrow night. For Dallas, I think it's CeeDee Lamb who gets in here. I'll take the plus 170. I think Dallas wants to feature CeeDee Lamb a whole bunch this year because CeeDee Lamb's the only Cowboy wide receiver who's guaranteed to be on the team next season. They can get out of Amari Cooper's contract after this year with a minimal cap hit. Gallup right now is not signed. Don't get me wrong. If they're moving on from Cooper, they're signing Gallup. But I don't think Cooper and Gallup are both coming back. But it doesn't matter. They're moving CeeDee Lamb all over the place. They want him to have a monster season. I'm on CeeDee Lamb all over the place.
All right, let's take a look at some of the longer shot odds here. Past CeeDee Lamb, Cooper, who George just mentioned, is plus 175. Antonio Brown is plus 180. George said that throw a little coin on Gronk at plus 220. Michael Gallup, interesting, at plus 220. He's the best odds for you in terms of receiver. You have Dak, if he runs one in, at plus 280. And boy, there'd be some convincing for O.J. Howard. Probably prove me wrong tomorrow night and score, George. But throwing darts here at any of the 2-1s, any interest outside of Gronk, or is he the only one here you like?
I have interest in Brown, too, for almost the same reason. Get him into the other season here. For the Cowboys, are they going to let Dak run like they normally would? I don't know. I don't think you know. I don't think any of us know. They want to protect him because of what happened last year, the injury here. I think a Tampa Bay tight end is scoring tomorrow. I just don't know which one. I think it's probably Gronk. I don't think it's Howard, even though Howard's a better tight end than people think. I can see Cameron Brate also scoring tomorrow. So I have a really strong feeling that a Tampa Bay tight end is going to get in. Dallas generally does not cover tight ends very well. I don't know how much Parsons changes this. Is he going to be that guy who covers it, or they want him getting to the quarterback there and causing havoc there? Waiting to see how Dallas plays that. But the tight end, I feel most – I just think they want Gronk to score to get that crowd going bananas because Gronk can do that the way he fires up the team, spikes the ball, and all that. And I'm not afraid to tell you, I may be a Cowboy fan, but Gronk is my favorite player in the NFL. The man just has too much fun.
Yeah, I didn't know that. I mean, George, of all the positivity, I don't think I've ever heard you say that about Gronk. That's really interesting because I guess there's sort of some love-hate there for the most part with Gronk, George, because of what you just said, is that like some people feel like he never took himself so seriously and maybe could have had a better career. But look, I'm with you. I mean, the guy just has really made the most of everything. If this is his last year, no one's really sure. I mean, most people think that this is it. But then again, most people thought it was it for Tom Brady a couple of years ago, too. So with the Thursday night game, George, tomorrow night here on Sports Grid, I know that you'll be watching. To me, Thursday night football is awesome, and it's awesome to have football back, but it is also the hottest take of any NFL game played, even in a Super Bowl, I think, all season long. Most people are just so desperate to watch a game. We tend to overreact more to tomorrow night, I think, than any other game this season.
Oh, I would agree. With anticipation, right? We've been waiting for it forever. Right? Super Bowl is only 2 weeks. This has been 8 months. So, yeah, I completely agree with you. We've been breaking this down forever here. One thing I like about this game is that since it's the Thursday before the season starts, no one's on short rest. Right, next Thursday when they play, I think it's the Giants and the Washington football team. Oh, now we got to worry about short rest. I mean, all the numbers tell you the home team always wins these games during the season because it's a short week. Not true tomorrow, right? Not true. I may think the home team's going to win anyway because I think they're the better team, but it's not true tomorrow. Both teams are on an even playing field here. So it's another reason why I like the first Thursday night game of the season.
Yeah, and I'll have a lot of interest because, as I said, CeeDee Lamb is part of my teams tomorrow night, so I'll be in there. I think I have Zuerlein as my kicker on one league, too. So, and Ronald Jones. So, nonetheless, we'll be back here tomorrow previewing more of the Thursday night football game. We're going to also take a look at all of the games on the NFL slate. Joe Pizzapia will join us later in the week. Also, don't forget, every Sunday morning, right here on Sports Grid, from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Eastern, we do a little fantasy sports today. Myself, Joe, and Matt Stryker getting you ready for week 1 of the NFL season. We'll give you our DFS picks best plays of the day, and of course help you win each and every week and give you the edge here on FSD. We'll be right back. More fantasy talk, a little best ball conversation coming up. Break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back. Fantasy Sports Today here on SportsGrid and SportsGrid.com. For those of you who have yet to participate in a best ball draft format, what are you waiting for? You have like 24 hours to get this done. And so we're going to take another quick look today through our friends at Underdog. And of course, you can download the app over in the App Store, Apple, Android, Google Play Store. Make sure you download it. And our promo code to get involved and get a huge discount is GRID, G-R-I-D. And so get on that right now. Download the app, Underdog Fantasy, and get involved right now. Great website and also a great app that's going to help you have a lot of fun throughout the fantasy football season. And our focus today, George, is taking a look at quarterbacks. Now, certainly we're up against it here. We got 24 hours to make decisions on who we would potentially take in the best ball format. I know you and I have talked about a little bit in terms of quarterback. Before we get to the actual tiers, George, how do you draft quarterbacks in fantasy? There are some that draft them at the beginning. There are some that wait to the end. There are some that basically go off their own personal average draft position and say, here's who I'm willing to take at the right moment in the draft. How do you approach it?
Assuming a one quarterback league, a traditional league, I wait on quarterbacks generally. Now, that's not to say I wouldn't take a Mahomes or a Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Dak, blah, blah, all those guys, but I'm not doing it round three. I'm not doing it round four. Now, if you're telling me in one league this happened where one of those top quarterbacks falls to the end of round four, top round five, and there's no one screaming at me, no top wide receiver fell, no top running back fell, then I'll take the quarterback. All right, but the value has to be there for me. Other than that, I like loading up on my running backs, loading up on my wide receivers. There are plenty of good quarterbacks to take. That's the thing. There's so many good quarterbacks. I know it's a heavy quarterback-driven league now. I understand that. But most leagues, 4 points for a touchdown, I'm waiting on a quarterback. Now, Craig, if you're giving me 6 points for a touchdown, that's a completely different story. But at 4 points, which is the traditional ruling here, I'm waiting to round eight, round nine.
Yeah, I'm quite sure, though, George, in your home league, and because I've been playing in a home league, too, for 30 years, first few years of that league, George, quarterbacks were 6 points, right? Passing touchdown. I mean, there was no thought of even having four. I mean,
still going are. Back 20 years.
Right. So, yeah, I understand that. But, yeah, I mean, we changed in my league, too. All right, we're off track here. Let's get back on track. Here are the tiers in terms of the top quarterbacks, and George probably wouldn't end up with many of these, I suppose, based on that analysis, but Mahomes. We have Josh Allen. Of course, those guys are sort of interchangeable this year. Kyler Murray falls in right after that. Lamar Jackson, who was amazing 2 years ago, took a little bit of a step back. And then Dak Prescott sneaks in to tier one. I believe I'm in on Dak in one league. And I'm like you, George. I didn't end up with any of the first four. But certainly there is a case to be made for them in the right spot.
Oh, yeah. Love them all. I think they're all going to have big seasons. I have nothing against any of them. I might be a little worried about Lamar Jackson and the fact that he's not vaccinated. I think COVID's going to play a major part this season, just like we've seen it in baseball. You and I are baseball guys. It's over and over again. But the Boston Red Sox right now being crushed. I think this is going to happen in football as well. So Lamar Jackson's already had it twice. A third time is a possibility. I do have Lamar in one league. I think I have Dak in about two leagues. And it's all likelihood I'll have Josh Allen tonight in that league of mine, as it's a super flex league and I'm in position to grab Josh Allen. So love them all. Yeah, I don't think you can go wrong here. All right, Patrick Mahomes to me is the number one guy overall. Josh Allen, I would buy my change up the bottom three, Murray, Jackson, and Prescott, but I would take any of them as a quarterback one on my fantasy team.
All right, let's take a look at the second tier of quarterbacks in over an underdog here for your best ball format. Justin Herbert coming off the great year last year. He is at the top of tier two, followed by Russell Wilson. Unbelievable first eight games, mediocre second eight games. Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady, the veterans back-to-back. There are some who believe, and there are some that won't take the veteran quarterback. And then Matthew Stafford has worked his way up right here, George, into the end of Tier 2. His days in Detroit, of course, are gone. Tons of weapons around him with the Los Angeles Rams.
Yeah, no, I would definitely reverse or change the order around here. I think I'd have Russell Wilson at number six. He's very stable. You know what you're getting with Russell. And I do think they're going to throw the ball more there. They changed up offensive coordinators this year. I think they're putting the ball in the air. I think they finally got Russell Cook. I realize he's your best player by far. Let the man play. I'd have Aaron Rodgers next here for me. Why can't he have another MVP season? Yeah, why not? So I think another big season is coming there. I don't mind Justin Herbert. Once again, I think he's going to be a great player, going to throw the football. Best thing that ever happened to the Chargers maybe was Tyrod Taylor's lung being deflated, so he got in there earlier than they thought. I do wonder about Tom Brady, Craig, that they have nothing to play for now until January. They're waiting for the playoffs, and maybe it's not going to be that kind of season. You know, not like that one year in New England where they wanted to blow everybody halfway to hell and win every game 51-10, no matter what was going on here. I think this is more like, let's get through the regular season here, get ready for the playoffs in January. So maybe that monster year is not coming, but can't go wrong with Brady. Stafford's very interesting. Probably underrated through most of his career because he's with Detroit. Now he's with the Rams. Got three good wide receivers there to throw the ball to. The running game might be iffy at best here, but I don't know if I would quite put Stafford in this tier. I think in my mind, he would be the top of the next tier.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I like Stafford, but there definitely, for me, is still injury concern with him. He's, you know, back issues in the past. Rams don't, by the way, have a fantastic backup for him either. So we'll see. Maybe I think there was a couple of times where he forced himself into play in games that he probably didn't belong in. So speaking of tier three, we have one of the top runners at quarterback leading off here with Jalen Hurts of the Philadelphia Eagles. Joe Burrow follows in right after that. Matt Ryan, clearly, regardless of what he does on the football field, really, George, no one's willing to put him in one of the top tiers. It's actually kind of funny. His numbers are so good at the end of every year. And then we have Tua Tagovailoa, Trevor Lawrence, Trey Lance, Justin Fields, bunch of rookies here figuring into tier three. And I think the thing is, George, is that you have several names. We don't really know exactly what to expect from most of these names in tier three. But if you're looking to win a best ball, it's probably smart to take one of these guys, because if they end up coming in, there's no waivers, don't have to worry about it, and they just accrue the points.
Agreed. Now, all those rookies, including Tua, I would not have in this tier, by the way. They would definitely be a tier below here. Jalen Hurts is probably the big wild card. And Philadelphia doesn't know, but they need to find out what's going to go on with Jalen Hurts this year. They have two number one picks next year. Could get a third, depending on Carson Wentz, how many snaps he plays for Indianapolis. So they need to know, is Hurts the quarterback of the future? Or are we trading those picks next year to get a top four quarterback that's coming out? So they need to know. So Hurts is, like, I think, that wild card for fantasy owners, for the Eagles, for everybody. Can he be the guy there? Joe Burrow, I don't know why he's not getting more love. All right, is it because of the knee injury? And because we heard in the, during the earlier training camp that he was still, I guess, worried about the knee, that maybe he needed to take that hit to realize, okay, if the knee's okay, I'm good. I'm going to be able to play. Burrow's team has no defense. All right, the Cincinnati Bengals have no defense. They can play a lot of high-scoring games. Chase, he's got Boyd, T. Higgins. The offensive line, okay, it's a little shaky as well. I get it. But a lot of points I got from Joe Burrow. Love Burrow, by the way. I think he's an outstanding guy to take in best ball. And Matt Ryan, you said it. We don't love him for whatever reason, because he's Matt Ryan, been around forever, right? So we don't love him, and maybe they don't win enough NFL games, but once again, points are coming. Another team, bad defense, not much of a running game there. Got to throw the ball a whole bunch here. But all these rookies, they're all going to play, mind you, but I'm not going to put it with these guys, not yet anyway. And Trey Lance, by the way, the fact he's not practicing yet, had the chipped finger, he's probably going to be the last of the rookie quarterbacks to play. I still think they all get in by Halloween at the latest, mind you, probably much earlier than that. But I think Lance will be closer to Halloween than the rest of these guys.
Yeah, and it's funny that you know, some of the names that we've seen here in the past, George, are not here anymore. I mean, tier three last year, you would have had, you know, maybe Jimmy Garoppolo. We would be talking about Ben Roethlisberger. I still think Ryan Tannehill deserves to be discussed in some conversation. Are there any other quarterbacks for you that, let's say, for example, there's another tier, a tier four, or just players that you would rather have than some of the names we just mentioned here at the end?
Well, you definitely hit on one. Tannehill is a big omission here. Why? Is it because he had the COVID for a while? Is that why? But he's right there. If he's not right there with Stafford, he's right behind them. You know, so he's sort of in this tier here, between this, you know, 3-2 tier. But Tannehill, he doesn't get the love he should get. He doesn't. All right, he's not the color quarterback he was at Miami anymore. They've given him more weapons now on Tennessee. I know they're a run team first. I get it with Derrick Henry, but Tannehill deserves more love than what he's getting here. I mean, Baker Mayfield is almost exactly like Tennessee. They're a run team first that can play defense. They don't want him to throw the ball 40 times a game, but he might deserve a little bit more love as well. The only problem with Roethlisberger is the noodle arm. I don't know how that arm is going to hold up as the season progresses. I think he'll be fine in September, and then each week it gets a little less strength. They lose a strength in that shoulder. I don't think it's ever coming back. But that being said, this is another team. Three great wide receivers. If that upside does remain there, he'll do well. And if you want an upside guy, best ball, Daniel Jones. Guy who has to prove something. Daniel Jones has the receivers now. Galladay, Shepard, Ingram, Rudolph, Slayton. I can go on and on here. Barkley's back. Forces the defense to respect that run. Safeties can't play, can't play too deep now. So let's see. But Daniel Jones, I think the best ball is a good shot.
Yeah, interesting that Daniel Jones is a name for you, George. But yeah, I mean, Winston is another name that just is a big wild card this year. You really don't know. Sam Darnold, probably beyond the years that we mentioned, taking some risk there. It just depends on who you are. I mean, if you watch college football and you liked what you saw from Justin Fields, maybe you're a Fields guy. If you think that Darnold has more potential, you go that way. You really can't go wrong. It is a guess at that point. But that's why it's very interesting over on Underdog to go ahead and get your final draft in, folks. Don't forget to use promo code GRID to get you a discount getting started. Best ball season is almost over. We'll be talking about Underdog throughout the season, helping you win at fantasy. But make sure you get there now. Download it over on the App Store or Google Play or Android. Use the promo code GRID, G-R-I-D. We'll be back, taking a look at the lines in week one. We'll go away. Break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
With NFL Week 1 upon us, Sports Grid is your spot. We're going to be carrying all kinds of live coverage this weekend, including in-game live. I see the schedule here coming out for the weekend. You guys got to be locked in. This is going to be a fun weekend for us here on Sports Grid. College football, of course, Saturday. NFL on Sunday. I'll be back with you again on Sunday morning. George Kurtz will be very busy complaining about his fantasy teams, of course, this weekend, too. But the one thing that really warms our heart is taking a look at the lines in week one of the NFL season. And trust me, we're going to be doing this for the next 3 days straight. That's a guess. But let's start off, George, by taking a look at some of the games that really appear, at least on paper, to be very close. And even though a game to me has a minus three or a plus three, I mean, that's a pick 'em, basically, essentially at this point, especially when the home team is favored, because you always get 3 points for the home team. So let's start off with two teams and two fan bases, George, that are going to overreact immediately once their team loses on Sunday. You know this to be true for sure. Eagles at Falcons. The Falcons are -3, which tells you it is a smack dab even game here. You can get +134 on the Eagles money line. The Falcons are -158. The total is 48.5 in this game. Now, I think the Falcons, George, we kind of know who they are, right? Like, I think you get a pretty good feeling who the offense is, a little bit of an upgrade at the running back position. They've tried to upgrade the defense a little bit. The Eagles are the big wild card here, George, because to me, the Eagles could win this game by 2 touchdowns, and they could also get blown out. Like, that's kind of the way that I look at them. I'm not going to really be sure who they are, I don't think, for a little while. Most of the prognostications have them only winning 5 or 6 games over the course of the season, but the Falcons aren't really projected to win many more than that as well. When you look at this game, any inkling on which way you'd like to go?
Yeah, you and I are on the same wavelength here. All right, I might have put it in different words, but I know exactly what you're saying. I don't know about the Eagles. I know about the Falcons. I think the Falcons are a bad team that can score points. That's really what I think about them. It's at home, so I can see why they have the advantage. The Eagles might be a bad team. They might be an okay team. Like I said, a lot of it does depend on Hurts. Last year, they were the voodoo doll team. Them and the 49ers. Someone was just sticking pins in a voodoo doll saying, nope, you're not playing this week. You're out. So many injuries. All right, they've gotten past some of that here. All right, I do like some of their draft picks end up going that was good for the Eagles this year. But I don't know yet until I see them play. You know, that's really what I need to see them play. I need to see what Hurts can do here. Listen, I'm going to take the points. All right, I'll give you the +3 in the Eagles. I think the Eagles are the better team. They may not have quite the offense that Atlanta does, but I know they have a better defense. All right, and I'll take that as that. It's going to be a small amount, nothing big here. One thing I do like, though, I like the over. I think points are coming. I can't see where both teams aren't scoring in the 20s. Maybe even one of these teams gets the 30. Wouldn't shock me at all here. So I'll take the over in the game. I feel better about the over than I do about the game itself.
Yeah, playing indoors. And look, the Falcons, we know they don't have a great defense. I think Philadelphia's defense is probably better than Atlanta's going into this game. But, you know, I think for me also, you look at it, two teams we really don't have a good, strong feeling on. You're taking points usually in that spot. Maybe Koo kicks a field goal late. They win by one. Okay, speaking of not knowing, boy, I guess you could say that about the Chargers pretty much every year because they go in with high expectations and end up on the low end. They go up against the Washington football team, and the total in this one of the lower ones on the NFL slate, is 44.5. Washington is actually getting a point, and the Chargers through the years, George, are one of, if not the worst betting teams in the NFL. I mean, it goes without saying. They seem to be getting more love from the odds makers than they should. Washington is coming off this sort of magical finish to their season last year. They have Ryan Fitzpatrick, who usually plays well against defenses that are not all that aggressive. The Chargers, I'm not sure where they factor in here on that. If Fitzy throws a few picks, they get blown out. If he just plays in the game that he normally plays against a team that's not going to attack him, both in the defensive backfield and up front, then he usually has a pretty good game. Who do you like in this one? It is a pick'em game. It's telling you the Chargers are probably a little bit better than Washington going into the season. Do they deserve to be a 1-point favorite?
I mean, it's a tough game. I think probably Washington deserves to be more the favorite here. That defense is elite, and we expect them to play like that. That being said, they have to be. I was surprised that the Washington football team elected to go with Ryan Fitzpatrick. Not that he's not the best quarterback that was out there, but you said it. He might throw a couple of picks at any moment. You know, he's more of a gunslinger. And he's a gunslinger who doesn't have quite the gun. You know, he's playing with a six-shooter there, not a bazooka. So that's why he gets himself into trouble sometimes. So I would have gone with probably more of a game manager quarterback if I was watching and assume that defense can win you a lot of games here. The Chargers, I mean, you and I are old enough to remember Wide World of Sports. You know, the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. The Chargers could be on the agony of defeat almost every week. They find ways to lose. I mean, they find ways to lose. That always scares me with them. They lose in weird fashion here. That being said, they moved on from Anthony Lynn, which I think is good. I think, once again, the Bears need to move on from Nagy with Denver Broncos from Fangio. And why I bring Lynn with this, these guys are stuck in 80s, 90s football, where you want to win games 17-14, 21-17. Can't do that today. Can't do it. The game is geared towards 28-31 points. They want you to score points. If you're trying to play defensive games, you know, hey, we'll win with the other team making a mistake in the fourth quarter. Good luck to that. unless your defense is elite here. So I think that's what I worry about with the Chargers here. Can they make that transition? They have the better offense. Herbert's going to play well, but I think it's going to take him a week or two to get into it. I hate Washington. I'm a Cowboy fan, so I hate Washington, but I think they win this game. That being said, once again, I don't have a great feeling for this either way, the over-under or the game itself, but I have a leaning towards Washington.
Yeah, let me help you. You just don't back the Chargers as a favorite, and you end up making money until they prove otherwise, and they have not in the last decade. I will not back the Chargers ever as a favorite. As a dog, yeah, maybe occasionally. Okay, here's an interesting game here. The total to me is interesting here, actually, but I want to look at this one. We got the Seattle Seahawks on the road at the Indianapolis Colts. Seattle is -2.5. The quarterbacking situation for Indy somewhat up in the air, or else there's no way Indianapolis would be a dog at home in game one. It just wouldn't happen. But George, this total feels a little high to me, man. Under 49.5. The Colts are not the offensive juggernaut. I think people are counting on Seattle just automatically to do what you're saying, which is basically give Wilson the opportunity to make the most of it. But the Colts have had a pretty good defense, and both coaches and both teams really like to run. So to me, I'm going to lean on the under here, 49.5. This total feels high to me in this game.
Once again, you and I think alike. I am big time on the under here. I don't know why this total is so high. And by the way, I think it's gone up to 50. I got 50 on FanDuel right now. So it's gone up. All right. And people are liking the over. And you said it. Carson Wentz, he's going to play in the game. But yay, Carson Wentz is going to play. Who cares? He's not very good anymore. All right, T.Y. Hilton will not play. So their passing game is already hindered a little bit. The Colts, you know, I don't feel bad or weird saying this. They have one of the best teams in the AFC outside of quarterback. If they had a Josh Allen or a Patrick Holmes, they'd be one of the favorites to go to the Super Bowl. No doubt in my mind, their team is that good. Maybe the best offensive line when healthy in football. Defense is good, right? The running game, good. All right, wide receivers need to step up a little bit, especially without T.Y., but it is what it is there. And this is a good squad here. But what you said is true here. The Colts are going to want to run the ball here and not put the ball in Wentz's hands. Seattle does travel well. They're not going to the East Coast anyway. It's mid-America here. But I like the Hawks in this game. I do. I think the Colts are a good team. Small play on the Colts here. Nothing big here. But the under, I'll have a big, much bigger play on the under here. I don't see why they think this is going to be a shootout. I don't see 27-24 coming.
Yeah, and it's just strange. I know Seattle's defense isn't great, but they're matched up against a team that's offense isn't all that great either. It's always interesting for me at the beginning of a season, too, when a team makes a quarterback change. I usually like to fade and go under in this one. And for the Colts, if I'm not mistaken, this is their fourth straight year with a new quarterback. You almost never see that. I think they went from Luck to Brissett, to Rivers, and now on to Wentz. And he may be a one-and-done, too. We don't know. So usually I like to fade that and go under to start a season. Okay, let's finish up here. If you're asking me for a strong opinion on the Dolphins because I live in South Florida and the Patriots, well, you've come to the wrong place because I don't know, man. This is a tough one to call. I mean, I think that Tua's improved. I don't know who Mac Jones is. I know who he was in college. I mean, I think New England's going to try and throw a little bit, but maybe they won't. Maybe they'll run three running backs. And how aggressive will Miami be against this tough defense of New England? Boy, this to me is the toughest of them all. +132 for Miami on the money line. New England is -156 to win 100 on the money line. And the total should not be surprising at 43.5. If you're going to bet this game and you're going to bet the under, you're going to do it now. This is going to go down before Sunday. There is not a lot of points expected to score. George, I think the Dolphins' offense will be better. But, I mean, it is one game, and it is in New England. And I think that Miami fans may overreact if Tua has a rough game. But the Patriots' defense is top five in the NFL. This could be a slogged-out kind of game. New England's going to probably play this way all season long. But then again, two quarterbacks who have had, what, a total of five career starts or six career starts, I'll pass.
I think you said this game's going to be a slog out. It's going to be that kind of game. It's not going to be a game where if you have no rooting interest, you're probably not going to want to watch much of the game. It's not going to be a fun game to watch. It smells like 17-14, 21-7, something like that. That's the way the Patriots have to play. Because, Craig, now you and I haven't worked together in a while. I think I've asked everybody this. Is there a team in the NFL with worse skill position players than the Patriots? I mean, it's ugly.
Yeah, no, I still maintain that Houston and Detroit probably are both worse. Yeah.
Houston, I mean, they have some better. Detroit's got Swift, who's better than anybody on New England.
Right, so, but as a whole, with the tight ends for New England and the running backs for New England, I don't know.
Hockenson on Detroit? I'll take Hockenson over either tight end on New England easily.
Yeah, but that's one guy.
I
think it's a fair conversation to have. I don't think it's as strong as you're setting it up to be. But yes, your point is well taken. It's not great. I will agree.
Yeah, so I think Miami wins this game. I do. Of course, I would like it much more if it was in the heat of South Miami. Then I think it might be a blowout here. But Mac Jones' first game, Miami's a good defense. They're going to confuse him here. Give me the Dolphins.
Dolphins -3 for George here. All right. Well, George, look, I mean, it could be Miami this week. It would be a huge win, obviously. They rarely go to New England and win. A couple of years ago, they did, and it was basically the end of Tom Brady's run, more or less, with the New England Patriots. We'll see what happens this week. Miami is getting 3. And, of course, we'll continue to preview all of these games as we continue on right here on Fantasy Sports Today. But coming up next, a decision has to be made. The Washington football team is closing in on their team name. Will it end up being something outside of Washington football team? George and I will come up with our very best names here on the show. Of course, Chris has the update here at the top of the hour. We got you until 2 o'clock Eastern right here on Fantasy Sports Today on Sports Grid. Also, don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Sports Grid and at Sports Grid TV for the very latest news information. And, of course, giving you the inside edge each week where we are playing back some of the things that we're talking about here on the show from a sports betting perspective, fantasy perspective. All of our shows, the Early Line, Morning After, In-Game Live, Gabe Morency, Scott Burrell, we're talking to you and we're talking on social media. So make sure you check out that as well. Plenty more to come here on the show on Fantasy Sports Today. Got the update coming up. We'll tell you what's going on in the world of Major League Baseball as well. Hall of Fame ceremony going on right now for Larry Walker, Derek Jeter, Ted Simmons, and Marvin Miller. We'll talk about that as well. So stay on the grid. We'll be right back in just 2 minutes.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's quite possible this is the final season of the Washington football team, as George, they're closing in on a new or maybe old name for their franchise, and they've come up with some really good possibilities. But George, the more that this goes and the longer that this goes, I mean, is there a chance they just stick with football team? I feel like it's starting to grow on people. I don't know. I mean, what do you think?
I think there's a pretty good chance it sticks. Maverick, I think if you were to force me into gun to the head right now, I think that's what they'll go to. Now, I don't know. Maybe you can't merchandise as well with Washington football team as you can if you had a nickname. Yeah, so I get that could be a deciding factor. It's all about money, right? What's going to bring the money? It's all like, don't let them tell you it cares about anything else. It's all about money, money, money. I liked Warriors when I first heard it, but I know that's been eliminated. Defenders, Washington Defenders, I kind of like that. You know, then they have one, the Red Wolves. Mm-hmm. How about we get rid of the Red? All right, let the Red go. All right, it didn't work out for our season. Washington Wolves, that sort of goes too. I kind of like that. But I got to tell you, Craig, out of all these name changes we've gone through the years, decades, I've only gotten my name once, and that was the Seattle Kraken. I finally got one right here. So I'm probably wrong on all three. It'll be something I haven't even thought of.
Yeah, I mean, I think the longer it goes, the chances that they maybe just stick with Washington football team, I'm not sure. And I mean, look, maybe Cleveland stole one of their team names too. You know, the team that's going to be known as the Indians, maybe they ended up doing that. But nonetheless, that will happen pretty soon. We'll see if they end up keeping football team, and this is all for nothing. Okay, we've got plenty more to come here on the show. So stay with us here on the grid. We're going to dive back into some NFL discussion, some, of course, fantasy football discussion as well. And no question, as you get ready to set your lineups for the upcoming fantasy football season, whether you're doing it Thursday night or Sunday, we have you covered. Sunday morning, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Eastern, we have Fantasy Sports Today. Myself, Joe Pisapia, and Matt Stryker every Sunday here on Sports Grid, getting you ready for the NFL week at hand. We'll be right back for hour two of FST after Chris's update. So stay on the grid. Great.